Well, over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the two greatest commandments, which are to love God with everything that we have, with all of our being, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with our strength. And the second is like it, which is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And when you think about those two greatest commandments, one of the ways that we can love God and love our neighbor is to evangelize. Today we come to the last letter in our series called The Simple Life, and we come to the letter E, and that letter E will stand for evangelize. Now some of you may be thinking, you know, evangelism, simple life, they really don't mix, because when I think about evangelism, I'm a bit maybe timid, maybe I don't feel like I have the answers, it's not my gift, whatever, and it seems kind of complicated and difficult to me. But as we've been learning through this series, that the simple life does not mean the easy life. It just means a life that is focused upon the main thing, keeping the main thing the main thing. And as we share our faith, this is something God can use to help us to be single-minded and focused. Because certainly it can be very difficult, I think we'd all agree, to evangelize. How many of you would say, I'm pretty sure that I don't have the gift of evangelism? Would most of you maybe raise your hand? I think most of us may. Some of you may feel like you have that gift, but I think most of us here would say, I don't think I really have that gift. And yet, each one of us is called to be a part of that work. And so point number one today is simply this, and that is we all have a part to play in this work of evangelism. And it's true that we may not have the, quote, gift of evangelism. We read in Ephesians 4 where Christ gave certain gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and so on. So we may not have that gift, but again, we're all called to be a part of this work. We find some interesting words from the Apostle Paul when he writes to young Timothy, who was a pastor in his day. And let's begin with 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 5, here Paul writes this to Timothy. He says, but you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship and do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Well, why is that so interesting? Well, as you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you'll see that Paul is urging Timothy to not neglect the gift that is in him. He would say that in his first letter. In his second letter, he would say, fan into flame that gift that is in you. And likely the gift that Timothy had was being a teacher, being a pastor, a shepherd over God's people. And yet in the midst of that gift, he says, Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. In other words, hey, Timmy, as you're out feeding the sheep and feeding the flock and giving them the word of God, don't forget to share the gospel with those who aren't sheep, because by God's grace, they might become sheep someday and join the fold. So do that work. And really, that principle can be applied to our lives as well today. You may have, say, the gift of teaching. Maybe you have the gift of mercy. Maybe you have the gift of administration. Maybe you have the gift of helps. And yet all those gifts, though they're there to edify and to build up the church, we're still to use these gifts with the mindset of evangelism on the forefront of our minds as well. In your everyday walk, as you use the gifts that God has imparted to you, make sure that evangelizing is a part of that everyday walk as well. So then, if we all ought to be involved in evangelism, what does that look like? What will that mean personally for you and I here today? Well, I first want to back up the train before we go too far. And I want us to really understand what it means to evangelize. What does that mean? Our English word evangelize is connected to a Greek word, really fun to pronounce. It is euangelion. And it means, translated most of the time, it, in your Bible, it comes across as gospel. So when you read, for example, in Romans 1:16, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it is that Greek word euangelion, and it's close to evangelize. And so we see the gospel is connected. Well, what is the gospel? Hopefully all of you already know what the gospel is. And if I were to ask you, where do you go? Where does the Bible define the gospel? Hopefully you can say 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, write that on your pocket. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at that, where Paul clearly defines the gospel for us. Verses 1 through 4, he says, Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. What is the gospel? What is the essence of the gospel? Well, it is these two key elements that have to be conveyed, and that is the cross of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. These have to be clearly conveyed again as we share the gospel that Jesus died and that Jesus rose again. And as we share the gospel with others, we may not say the exact same words. Things may come out a little different, but these two things need to be a part of sharing the gospel. Well, why is it so important to share these two things? Let's begin with the cross. Why is it so important to share about the cross? Because the cross loudly proclaims these two truths. If people would humbly look at the cross of Christ and what it means, it would mean these two things, that we as humans are sinners and Christ is our Savior. He is the, with a capital T, the Savior. These two truths are declared from the cross. And you could really say it even better. You could say that we not just are sinners, but we are helpless sinners. We are powerless sinners. We are hopeless sinners. We are condemned sinners apart from the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. Why is it so important to convey that in that way? Because if all we do is let people know that they're sinners, then what might people conclude? Most people, if you tell them you're a sinner, they'll say, yeah, I agree. I know I'm a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. But then what might they do? They might say, well, in order to be right with God, maybe if I just try a little harder, maybe if I just clean up my life a little bit, maybe if I do more good than bad, then God will accept me, I'll get into heaven in that way. And what we see there is a disconnect, isn't there, between those who are sinners and the cross of Christ. And so what we must clearly declare is not only that we're sinners, but the only hope we have of salvation is through the cross and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that he died for sinners and he's our only hope of salvation, our only hope of heaven. And then secondly, we must speak of his resurrection. Now, as you share the gospel, you may not use that word resurrection. But here's what you must clearly declare. That this same Jesus who was once crucified upon a cross, this Jesus he's not still dead. He's alive. He rose again. And he is alive forevermore. He now reigns on high. He's Lord over all. He's King. He is God the Son. Death had no hold on Christ. He is seated at the right hand of the Father in glory and majesty and all power and honor. Go to Christ. And this same Jesus will one day return. He's coming back. And he's coming back to take his people home. And not only is he going to take his people home, but he is going to come as judge. with wrath and fury and fire in his eyes for those who are unrepentant and unbelieving. He will come with punishment in his hands for those who don't believe. And this is the Christ that we're to proclaim to the lost, that Jesus is indeed both Savior and Lord. So then, once we know what the gospel is, this is the message we're to declare, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Now what? Well, there's three things I want to give you to think about today. And they are these: pray, look, and act. Let's begin with pray. First is pray. You may be thinking, if God is sovereign and God is predestined, as the scriptures teach, he's predestined those who will come, those who will believe, then why even pray? Why bother praying? Well, the same God who inspired passages like Ephesians 1 that teaches that, Romans 9 that teaches God's purpose in election, is the same God who has inspired the words we read here in Colossians chapter 4. Let's look at that. Colossians 4, 2 through 4. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. You see, Paul knew that God not only ordained the end of all things, but the means as well. Paul knew this, that God used the prayers of his people to bring about the salvation of the lost. Paul knew this great truth that Jesus once said, you have not because you ask not. And so we are to cry out, we are to ask God to save those who are lost. This was the heart of Paul. Not only did Paul think it was important to pray for the lost, pray for souls, but also to pray for himself. He asked the church to pray for him, that he would proclaim the message clearly as he ought, that he would stick to the main truth of the gospel, that Christ died for sins and that he rose again, that he would proclaim that truth so clearly so that people's faith would not be in some other idea, but in the gospel message of Christ crucified and risen again. And so he asked for prayer to do that rightly. And I believe Paul also is asking here for just the right heart. Not only the right words as we speak truth, but to speak the truth in love, to say it with the right motives as well. And Paul was saying, pray that I would have a genuine heart for those that I share Christ with, that I would not be mean-spirited or arrogant or judgmental, but that my heart and my motives would be pure. How about you? Do you pray? Do you pray for those who are lost? Perhaps in your own family, perhaps neighbors, perhaps people that you work with. Do you pray for them regularly, that they will come to know Jesus Christ? And then secondly, do you pray for yourself? That you would speak, that you would have boldness and courage to say what you need to say about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not only that you would pray the right thing or say the right thing, but that your heart would be in the right spot. That you would have a genuine love for those who are lost and need to hear the gospel. Well, number two is to look. To look. How many of you have ever had a conversation with someone, and a couple minutes after you leave their presence, you're thinking, I should have said that. I could have told them this about Jesus. I could have shared this. And you think about it after you're gone. Anybody guilty? I know I, yeah. Some of you may be very quick thinkers, and so maybe that's not an issue for you. Others, maybe you have to process. I've got to think about what I'm going to say, process it, make sure it. And by the time I get my thoughts together, the person's gone. So I always need to be looking, and you need to be looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Because even if you're not a quick thinker, guess what? If you're looking for an opportunity, there's a real good chance that you're going to say something about Jesus, that you'll be able to plant a seed into someone's heart. But if you're not looking for that opportunity, guess what is probably not, it's probably going to happen. You're probably not going to say anything at all. So look for that opportunity to share. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. He says, never be lacking in zeal. This fervor, he says, keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. And though this is written in a general way about service, as we serve God, there ought to be zeal and passion and his energy working through us. While this is about general service, it could be applied certainly to evangelism as well. That we would have zeal and passion and energy as we share Christ with others. And not only as we share Christ with others, but as others ask us about Christ. Because sometimes that's going to happen too. As people know where you stand with Christ and your love for Christ, they may begin to ask you questions. And so when they ask you questions, what should you do? Well, we find some beautiful words from Peter in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. He says this, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Amen. This is a great segue to point number three, which is to act. It's one thing to pray. It's another thing to be ready, to be looking for opportunities. But thirdly, we must actually do something, right? We've got to actually speak this gospel message. We've got to open our mouths and tell others this, what's called good news, this gospel. That's what the word means, good news. We need to, as Nike says, right, just do it. We have to do it. But how should we do it? Well, this is what Peter really gets at here. He says, when you give an answer, when you share about Christ and the hope that is in you, here's how you do it. You do it with gentleness and with respect. Charles Spurgeon once said this to his congregation. He said, when you speak of heaven, he says, let your whole face light up. But when you speak of hell, well, then your everyday face will do. Now, I'd love if he was here to really go into detail about that quote, but here's my best understanding of what he's getting at. When you tell others about heaven, there ought to be some joy, right, in your life. There ought to be this genuine joy because you know Christ. He saved you from your sins. You know that you're going to spend eternity in heaven. How many grew up singing that old Sunday school song? If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it, right? Is there this genuine joy that you're going to heaven someday and you want this person to go there too? This is what Spurgeon is saying here. Hey, let your whole face light up. But when you talk about hell, your everyday face is fine. What does he mean? Well, you don't have to have a scowl on your face. Like, repent or you're going to hell. You don't have to have this sense of arrogance or superiority. Like, I humbled myself and believed in Jesus. Now, why don't you believe? Just your everyday face is fine. Just give them that. No pride. No arrogance. No anger. Know this, that were it not for the grace of God, hell would be your ticket too. Hell would be your place. And so just humbly and sincerely share the reality of hell. And if you're familiar with Spurgeon, I think he would carry this even further. And he would say, not just your everyday face, but even better than that would be maybe even to have a a tear fall from your cheek as you're sharing the gospel. Look upon the lost with compassion and not contempt. Look upon the lost with deep, sincere pity and not pride. Let me say that again. Look with compassion and not contempt. Look with deep pity for their lostness and not a sense of pride. Look upon the lost the same way Jesus did. Let's look at what Jesus did in Luke 19, verses 41 and 42. It says, as he, Jesus, approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Did Jesus know that this beloved city, the city of Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem would for the most part reject the gospel? Yes, he did. Did Jesus know and even say he prayed this once? He said, oh, Father, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, the proud, the arrogant, and you've revealed them to little children. Father, this was for your good pleasure. Did Jesus know all that? Yes. But he still wept. He still wept over unbelief when he saw it. Apostle Paul does the same thing. Romans 9, Romans 10, what do you see? Paul teaches very clearly about the doctrine of election, how it's God's sovereign will to choose whom he will. And when we hear that, we have nothing to say. We're to shut our mouths to that as humans. But yet Paul had this sorrow, this deep anguish in his heart for his fellow Jews who were rejecting Christ. Jesus wept over unbelief. Paul wept over unbelief. May God break our hearts so that we weep over those who do not believe. Once our heart, hopefully, is in the right spot, there's a sincere compassion that comes from the Good Shepherd, comes from Christ himself, then we need to act. We need to share the gospel. Today I've put some things on the back table there that I want you to take. I don't want to leave and see all those still there today, okay? So I want you to take those. And I don't want you to take them and put them in a corner or on a shelf in your home. I want you to take them and I want you to give them to someone. And just show you what some of the things are. This thing here is just called the Life Book. If you have someone who maybe has an interest in the Bible, hey, tell me what the Bible's about. And you know they may not read the whole Bible. Here's a quick snapshot of the Bible. The Cliff Notes, remember the Cliff Notes, right? Monarch Notes, if you use those back in the day, that's all I ever read. But yeah, this is it for the scriptures of how someone can know about God and why Christ came. Give that to somebody. Here's a few tracts. Now, some people think tracts are impersonal, and in some sense they are, right? You meet a stranger, hey, would you just have this? Yeah, okay. It is kind of impersonal. But what I'd say is this, start with someone you know. Start with someone you know and give them a tract. Maybe you haven't had an opportunity to share Jesus, but they know you well enough. They know you're not out to fool them or anything like that. They trust you. Maybe there's someone in your life who's a smarty pants. Anybody that's a smarty pants? You give them this tract. It's called the IQ test. And see if they pass it. They may fail. From my experience, I failed it and many people fail it. So it's kind of a cute little thing here. But it's got the gospel in it. How many people you know that say faith is just for, it's just a crutch for weak people? You need something to believe in, so just believe in God. Well, here's a good track. Faith is for weak people. Responding to some critics. And this is a real good one. Have you ever met someone and you've shared about Jesus and they say, yeah, I'll get around to it someday. Yeah, someday I'll get around to it. Well, here's around to it, okay? There's around to it, you give it to them, and it has the gospel on the back. So, you have some homework today. Hit that back table. Take as many as you want. Even now, be thinking of people. Hopefully there's people that are on your mind. One, two, three, four more. That maybe you've already shared the gospel. Maybe you haven't yet. It's just a good opportunity to be about the Lord's business. Again, Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. And it is so easy. I confess, even as a pastor, I confess that I can be so busy, you know, just getting into the word and trying to feed the sheep that I am oblivious often to lost people. And my heart doesn't break like it ought to break for those who are lost and going to hell without Jesus. And so I probably need this message more than anybody today to be active, to be involved in the work of evangelism. Well, as we close today, I've already shared the gospel. So you've already heard that Jesus came to die for sinners, that he rose again. He is Lord over all. He came to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's only when we repent, turn away from sin, and trust in Jesus that we are saved. The Bible says this: if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. And so if today you have never trusted in Jesus, maybe you've heard the gospel, but you've never surrendered to it, then let today be the day that you bow your knee, you bow your heart to Jesus Christ, to his message, to his gospel message. Do you believe it? Do you believe the gospel? When many people are asked that question, they'll nod their head. They say, I believe. Well, here's a good self-test, a self-examination for you today. Here it is. Do you have a desire to see those without Christ know him? Because if you say no, then that's a warning sign. That's a red flag. If you're here today and you say, you know, when it comes to the gospel, I just want people to make up their own mind. I don't want to influence them at all on their decision. I can't judge your heart, but here's what Jesus might say to you. Do you really know me? Do you really love me? Because if you did, I would be that pearl of great price. I would be so precious to you that you would want to share me with others. You would be like that Samaritan woman who, after meeting me, meeting the living water, she went back to her village and said, hey, people, you need to meet this man, Jesus. And so if there is absolutely no desire to share Jesus with others, then repent of that and ask God to give you that desire, to give you that longing to share who he is with others. Because if he's changed you, you'll want to let others know what he's done in your life. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. And Lord, I know I fall so short of sharing the gospel. Lord, it's easy to stand behind a pulpit and to share the gospel, but to share it face to face with those who maybe are my neighbors, maybe those that I meet, parents of my kids' friends, whoever it may be, Lord, I fall short. And so, Lord, help me to always be mindful, to have the gospel always before me, Lord, that people need to hear about the cross of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus and who he is. Lord, as the song says, break our hearts for what breaks yours. And so, Lord, we ask that today, that Lord, we would be a church, we would be a people who continually share you with others, Lord. Help us to love them with a sincere, genuine love, the way Jesus loves us. And we ask this in your name, Jesus.